You know that wellness goal you set at the start of the year? It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Joining us, you see that James Island logo when we bring you back in the open on Fourth Quarter Friday. Well, we've got the man behind that logo right now. They won Region 8 last year, running the playoffs, 12 wins. You've really shaken things up with the Trojans. Coach, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. Tell us what's going on in your corner of the world. And it is a corner, right? You guys, it's the ocean, and you guys are down there in James Island. I hope the traffic's not too bad on Folly Road when you try to go home in the afternoons.
Yeah, we're pretty boxed in down here in the corner of America, man. We're right here before you get across the pond to London and places due east. You know, we're just hanging on, man. Off-season grind has began since we got kicked out of the playoffs at the lower state. So we've just been grinding since that point, trying to build a program, leaving a legacy behind, keeping the standard high.
Well, Coach, before we get into the appeal as to why you guys were talking about moving in classification, if you would tell us just how you've built this program. Why I said you shook things up, and you did. You have been on a real roll there at James Island. Tell us how you built this culture, and you built it so quickly there with the Trojans.
Yeah, man, this place, my good buddy and poet sung a song that said, you know, we was the brick that the builder refused. So this program was the brick that the builder refused. They left this program for dead, and we came in and we resurrected this place. And it's been a football revival, if you will, going on here at James Island. Kids have bought in, the community has bought in, and you know, we just building this place brick by brick, day at a time, man, stacking days, just trying to get better as the seasons change, you know, and keeping the standard high. Like, we live in and die by standard. Our standard is our standard. We won't deviate from it. This is what we expect. You can either get with us or get lost, and we stand on that. And the kids believe in it. The kids are coaching themselves now. We don't even have to repeat some of these things. The kids will tell you, like, if you not go work out like this, we don't need you here. You can go find somewhere else to play. So we keep the standard high, and we grind daily.
Coach McCoy, me and you go way back now, ever since you got to James Island. But for those of the South Carolinians that don't know much about you, tell them a little bit about your background. I think you hail from North Carolina, but when you came to South Carolina and James Island was open and you were applying for the job, what drew you to James Island specifically?
For those that don't know, I'm Jamar McCoy. I hail from Gastonia, North Carolina, the big city out there beside Charlotte. I took the job here in 2020 at the start of the COVID. And what drew me to this place, originally, just being transparent, I applied at West Ashley, and they wound up hiring Donnie Kiefer, and Coach Phipps said, McCoy, you know, I'm going to bring in my good friend Donnie Kiefer, but if you're serious about moving to Charleston, there's a job down the road not too far from here that's open, and the AD is my good friend. He was referring to Jeremy Holland, who's my current AD and boss here at James Island. So he linked us together, and I had a conversation with Coach Holland. I wasn't too keen after the first conversation with Coach Holland, because he kind of made it seem that they already were finishing up the interview process and they already kind of had a guy in mind. And he said, well, if you want to interview, you can come down. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So I came down, I interviewed, and immediately that sparks flew between myself and the administration here, and they took me on a tour around the school, told me to come back in a couple weeks for a second interview. which I lined up, and I was offered a job doing my second interview. And, you know, just from there, it's been history. I graduated from North Carolina Central University in 2006 with a degree in political science. And I didn't plan ever to be a coach or be in the educational field. I wanted to be the president of the United States. I wanted to go into politics. I wanted to change the world. You have these big grand ideas when you're younger to do different things. And I stuck my toe in the political world and the political scene. And I didn't like it. And I did an about face and got into education and coaching. And here I am enjoying life, coaching a great ball club, leading a great program.
Well, you're not out of politics. You're not out of politics at all, Coach, because your school went to the South Carolina High School League, and you went to the appellate committee and you said, hey, here's why we think that we should be in a different classification. If you could take us through a few things, because for one thing, you're having success. So this isn't about competition. Right. Take us through, if you would, what your region looked like, what the travel is like, the appeal that your school was making, what your world is going to look like moving forward in the future. And then, hey, if you like, carte blanche to you, you can take us through your ideas about how the high school league might make things better for everybody in the future.
Absolutely. So I try to steer away from being political, but here goes. So James Island, we're what's known as a public conversion charter school, the only one of its kind in the state of South Carolina. We have two attendance zones. If you live on James Island, that is a pure island in every sense of the word. We're surrounded on all sides by water. The only way to get on the island is by boat or over a bridge in a car. If you live on James Island, you are zoned to go to this high school. But we have 400 lottery seats, and you have to live within the county lines, Charleston County lines, in order to apply for one of those 400 lottery seats. Out of those 400 lottery seats, we have right at 100 kids that has transferred in that play sports. The other 300, they're here for our IB program or one of our arts programs. We're the only IB high school in our county. So students want to get that IB diploma, which is very attractive. And it's a lot of hard work to get. So with the multiplier, it has bumped us up to being a 5A program. And we don't have 5A numbers, live bodies in the building. We just don't. But before I dig deep into that, the travel, I have to say, it's better being in 5A because, we don't have far to go. I think our furthest region game this year was over to Ashley Ridge or maybe over to Somerville. It's really, no more than an hour's drive from here to there. We travel further during the playoff stretch to play ball games. Now, when we were in 4A several years ago, the travel was a bear. To get out to Hilton Head or Buford or May River or one of those schools, down south of us. It was a haul for mm-hmm. sure. But at the same time, when you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges as it relates to warm bodies in the school, grades 9 through 11, those schools in Buford County, down in Hilton Head, those are the schools that we are comparable to, not to a Somerville or Ashley Ridge that has 25, 26, 28, nearly 3,000 students in the building. Like, we just don't. It is what it is. And, what I kept hearing from the appeals process was, y'all been competitive. So what that we're competitive? Clemson is competitive. Miami is competitive. They're both ACC schools. That doesn't mean they need to go jump into the SEC. Like, it is what it is. Our roster is built on 4A numbers. And since we are competitive with the kids that we have, does that mean we need to play 5A? No, not at all. Your rules state we classify and realign schools on their ADMs, the average daily minimums. And our ADMs say that we're squarely a 4A school. And that's just that. So I feel that the 3A, the multiplier, is something that's old and arcane, that we lifted straight from the state of Georgia, who no longer uses the rule because it's outdated, and it really does nothing but hurt those other public schools. Their intended audience was for some of these charter schools to get hit with the multiplier for competitive balance. But I haven't seen any, and I mean any, zero zilch evidence that this multiplier has balanced the competition in the state. I'll be wide open to read the findings of the executive committee from the South Carolina High School League. And as of yet, nothing has been sent out to us.
Coach, the multiplier, you mentioned that Georgia's already kind of gotten rid of it.
Right.
It's hard to argue against some of those points that you just made. So my question is, when it comes down to the multiplier, is there not a way to do it just based on the athletes that are out of district? What does that look like from a logistics and, you know, paperwork standpoint? Because, like, maybe the committee or the high school league might argue that, well, you know, you don't know sometimes whether out of district student is going to play a sport or not. They could potentially play a sport in their sophomore year rather than their freshman year, if they're there for multiple years. So how can you change that multiplier rule for competitive balance for some of the charter schools that have them coming in from all over big, you know, geographic areas, to apply more fairly for a school like your school?
So to be honest, let me preface my statement with this. There's no perfect process, mm-hmm. No perfect procedures. Every state that has a high school athletic league, there are positives and there are negatives. So I just wanted to preface my statement with that. With kids that transfer in that do not declare that they're playing a sport once they transfer in, I feel as though once they do begin to play a sport, there should be the onus put back.
You know that wellness goal you set at the start of the year? It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.
On the school, on that athletic director to fill out paperwork and say, hey, this kid decided to play a sport, and here, multiplying by 3, you know, in the next year's count. And I think that should work for even kids that decide to start playing a sport their senior year, even though we don't count seniors in our ADMs, we only count grades 9 through 11. If they decide to play their senior year and they're out of district kid, I say multiplying by 3, and they're still going to be added to that 9 through 11 count. Is that the correct way? Is that the proper steps to do? In my mind, yes. In somebody else's mind, maybe no. But if we're wanting to stick with this multiplier rule, I think that the multiplier should only affect athletes. Why are we penalizing the rest of the athletic teams for kids that transfer into a school for an academic program? I just don't get it. I truly don't. And no one, again, can explain it to me. Why am I multiplying Joe Blow, who came to James Island to study in the IB program and play the cello, who would never pick up a football or put on a basketball uniform? Why are we multiplying this child by 3? And my rationale is we're multiplying him by three to punish the Athletics, to move them up, because somehow there's some cheating going on since this kid want to go to your school and be in the IB program. So I think that at the heart of this competitive balance rule it's punitive, and it needs to change.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. Coach, one of the things we've kind of explored or danced around, because as you said, there may not be a perfect system, because what may help, say, the schools in Charleston get things the right way may not be the right answer for teams in the upstate based on how many schools from different sizes are there. So I think we all are going to have to dig into this. But one of the things that I brought up a couple of times is mixed regions, meaning you just talked about the travel. What if James Island kind of, you stayed in the same region, but then when playoffs came around, then that's when we utilized that multiplier, and then you were playing 4A teams in the playoffs. Can you kind of explain how that would work and if that's a potential solution?
So let me say this. I came from North Carolina, and we were in mixed conferences. We called it conferences in North Carolina. Down here, we call it regions. Mixed regions, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if somebody says, you can't let 4A teams play 5A teams, I would challenge that person to go look at the ADM numbers and look where the bottom 5A teams and the top 4A teams, look at their numbers, and then you tell me why the top five 4A teams are larger than the bottom five 5A teams. So you essentially already got 4A and 5A teams in mixed regions without just saying that this team is 5A and this team is 4A. But if you do mixed regions, if you have a mixed region in the Charleston area with a 5A and a 4A split, when it comes down time for playoffs, you can send a James Island to play a 4A playoff schedule and a Somerville to play a 5A playoff schedule. It doesn't hurt anything if we're talking geographics, because I kept hearing that during the appellate process, geographics. You know, again, the split, I think, is the best answer to that problem. Like, since we don't want teams to have to travel, like now you got Soccer City and Carolina Forest having to come over to the Charleston area several times a week to play games, which is going to be a burden for them the next 2 years. They could have had a split region, a Horry County, Florence split region. And come playoff times, you just get on the road and go. I mean, I've been here 6 years. I've traveled 2 hours to North Myrtle Beach to get my butt whooped. I traveled 2.5 hours to South Florence to watch Lenora Sellers, a future Heisman winner and candidate, absolutely put belt to bottom when we went up to South Florence. I've traveled to Sumter twice already. So, I mean, travel is nothing when it comes playoff time. So, but it is an issue when you're having to go travel 2.5-3 hours a night on a Tuesday for a JV basketball game. So I think a split region would be the perfect solution to the geographic problem that we're having now.
Well, you know, and I honestly, Coach, I don't see how you can argue against a format like that, because that's what 5A's been for the last 2 years, right? You know, absolutely. Have 5A Division Ones and 5A Division Twos in the same region. So I think that process has been vetted out as a viable solution. Coach, I got one more question before we let you go. We know you got to get to lunch, your lunch break here soon, but the transfer portal, that's a new thing to high school football. Me and you had a short amount of time to talk about that earlier in the week. And love some of your take on it, specifically around how it impacts a student who actually makes a bona fide move,
right?
And does not get the 3-game or 22-game window placed on them. I mean, I just that doesn't make sense to me why that was thrown out as a consideration, because like a bona fide move, you know, there prevents cheating, right?
Right, absolutely. And it so again, I'm not as well versed on the transfer policy, and I've been here 6 years, I know, but I've read it. And my understanding is, and has always been, if a kid makes a bona fide move, you know, it's not a transfer. The kid is literally moving into your district. But nonetheless, the state is now saying that even with a bona fide move and some other things, the kids have to sit 22 days or three games, whichever one comes first. And that's only placed on seniors. So what blows my mind is we have a one-time transfer rule, but seniors, you can't do it. No, no, no. Bad on you for wanting to transfer your senior year and using this one-time transfer rule. We're going to punish you. I don't get some of the rules and some of the rationales behind it. You know, to me, either with the one-time transfer rule, the kids have to sit one time for three games or 22 days, whichever come first, grades 9 through 12, or don't have that punitive portion in the rule at all. Like, what is the purpose? Again, I think we do things and we do all of these rules and everything becomes confusing, and we're really cutting off our nose and spite our face. So I don't get some of these things and the rationale behind them. In my point of view, it's the kid's last year. He uses this one-time transfer as a senior. Good for him. You know, we've had kids to leave the James Island program, and I look them in the face and wish them the best. Since I've been a coach, I've been in the business of training and keeping soldiers, not hostages. So if they want to go, let them go. We go fight on with the crew that we have here. So if a kid decides to just transfer out his senior year, you know, God bless you. I hope you find and get everything you want. I don't think they should be punished for it if we got a one-time transfer rule.
Yeah, Coach, all of this is fantastic. Next time we have you on, we're absolutely going to talk more ball, right? More football next time that we have you on. But we wanted to get your thoughts out here to everybody and really stir this conversation up. Bona fide transfers or not. What's bona fide is that jacket. In the last 30 seconds, tell us, because you're representing today. So tell us who you're repping today there at James Island.
I'm representing the North Carolina Central University, home of the Eagles, Eagle Pride Amplified, the mighty Tau Psi chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. This is my 20-year anniversary jacket for spring 2004 line. The eight tenants of the House of Pain. So rude to the good bros out there. Bro Hunter, that's the athletic director over at Indian Land. Bobby Collins, the head coach up at South Point. So just to name a few or so many more. Y'all, I love you. Charged to my head, not my heart. You know, but rude to the good bros out there.
All right, Coach, don't get out early. Beat the James Island Folly Road traffic this afternoon. You get back to your educational duties, and we'll check in with you this summer before football season.
I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Take care.
That is
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
You know that wellness goal you set at the start of the year? It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.